A testimony of the saving grace of God is an amazing thing. It's always a wonderful thing to be able to tell what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has done in your life, how the Lord has worked in your heart, and how God has brought you to this hour. And so we thank God for what God has done in the life of our brother Andrew. I'm going to let him tell you what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, means to him. Andrew, God bless you.
Well, I didn't think I had a heart condition until I stood up here. I think you should have one of those signs up there. If you see it at a fairground, those with a bad heart, do not go on this ride. I also used to think this is a mic, but I think it's a pacemaker. John, send down a few more volts, because my heart's going to rip out of my chest here. No, but the Lord has said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I can tell you now, I'm pretty weak tonight, so if you're a praying person, and if you're a Christian, I hope you are praying and shooting up those arrow prayers to heaven, that the Spirit of God will come down and use me. I'd like to say thank you to Rev McRae for inviting me along. I'd also like to this time to personally thank him for his faithfulness over the years, faithful to my soul, faithful to the blood in the book. Also like to thank Paul McLean as a youth leader, and Roy Campbell. You might think we weren't listening, but I can still remember your lesson on the 12 virgins, and it stuck with me all through my life. I'd like to thank all my Sunday school teachers, God's people that prayed for me. I'd like to thank especially my family, and my mum and dad. And my daily bread reading this morning, it's talked about a mother's love. And Mum, I want to thank you for your love to me. And I want to thank you for your prayers for me. And you know, young person, if you have a godly mother and they're praying for you, it may be God answering their prayers that's keeping you out of a Christless hell. And I pray you'll sit up and listen tonight. I'd like to thank God for my dad as well. He's been so faithful, and I can tell he loves me. And I have utmost respect for my father. But most of all, above all this, I'd like to thank Almighty God for what he's done for me. I'd like to thank him for sending his son to die for a sinful wretch such as I. I'd like to thank him for the Holy Spirit that's convicted me of my sin. If you have your Bible with you, I usually read when I give my testimony, Luke 15, but the Lord's laid this portion of my heart, and Rev McRae, I backed it up this morning, so the Lord's answering prayers right even up to the moment, and Alistair prayed in the prayer meeting too. So if you have your Bible with you, turn to Jeremiah 18, and I'll just read a few verses there. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work in the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, and another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And just bow for a wee word of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the testimony to give, dear Lord. I pray in Jesus' name you'll give me help, Lord, to honor and glorify thy name, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray you'll empty me of self, Lord, and clean this vessel, Lord, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, dear Heavenly Father. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was born into a Christian home, and there's many in here who've been born in a Christian home, and you count it to God as a privilege that you have people praying for you from when you were born. But anyway, I can't remember too much about my early childhood, but I do have two things which I do remember, and it was one sticks in my head, and I can honestly say before God, this is the first memory of my childhood I ever have. And I was sitting down there on a Sunday morning. I can picture the row was about third from the back, and I wasn't asked, I wasn't coerced into it, but I just had this overwhelming desire that I wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And that Sunday, on the 23rd of September, 1983, I was just before my fourth birthday, and I got down in my bed, or my dad's bed, and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And I know this is the time when the Lord came into my life. I know that in childlike faith he answered that prayer. It was nothing to do with the prayer I said, it was just all to do with faith, and I believe that he came in to my life at that stage. Another memory that I have that sticks out, I have one good memory and one bad memory, is I can remember, and David's not here tonight, but I'll confess, because as he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But anyway, our uncle had this scout tent, and me and David had some fascination about lighting fires, and we decided this day that we would send smoke signals to someone that we did not know. So anyway, we got this scout tent, and we held it over this fire, and every so often we would release it and let out this big puff of smoke, but it caught fire, and it started to burn, and a big hole burnt in the middle of it. And what did me and David do? Me and David took the tent, we hid it under a pile of leaves, we hid it under a pile of corrugated iron, and we've told no one to this day, but our secret's out now, and we just pray that it's rotted away. But anyway, it's a strange thing, because I never really related this before in my testimony, but it just goes to show that even when you're a child, you don't need to be taught how to sin. You don't need to be taught how to cover up your sin. And I can honestly say, and later on in life, I tried and I done everything to cover up my sin. But it always pricked my conscience about this tent. And you know, no matter what you do to cover up your sin, God will always see it. And God will always prick your conscience for what you've done. But anyway, I went to school, and primary school, no hassle primary school, as everyone knows. But I went to secondary school, and to my shame, I never took my stand for the Lord. I never fell into bad company. I didn't fall into good Christian company. I didn't fall into any Christian company, to be honest. There was no Christians in my year. But I just fell into probably the best company you could ever fall into. And in school, I wouldn't have been going out and drinking, or I wouldn't have been, I don't know, even going to the cinema, or I wouldn't be doing nothing like that there. But there's one thing that, to my shame, I can say, and that was my language in school was terrible. I was walking a double life. I came to church and I could turn my language off like that. And I went to school and I could turn it on like that. And my mouth was vile, so it was. It was filthy, it was unclean. I tried many times to tame it, but as it says in God's Word in James 3 and verse 8, it says, "But the tongue can no man tame, it is unruly evil, full of deadly poison." And to my shame, and there's even a young fellow who came to this church, he was even in my Sunday school class, and he turned around to me and he says, "You know, Andrew, you've got the worst tongue in this school," and that is no good thing to be saying. And I hope tonight that I don't bring glory to the devil, because the devil done nothing for me, and the devil took me further than I ever wanted to go. But anyway, that was probably my folly at school. I never, as they say, I never went out to clubs when I was in school. I never smoked or drank, but my language is terrible. But anyway, I went to university, and I never really laid nothing before the Lord. I wasn't walking right with the Lord. And if you're going to make any decision in your life, if you're a Christian, you should lay it before the Lord. And I never did. I just went to university because it was an accepted thing to do in our family. And I just thought, well, as everyone else has done in our family, I'll go on to university. But anyway, I found out university really wasn't for me. I didn't like being stuck inside. I didn't like working in an office situation. I didn't like doing work full stop. But anyway, I got a job, and I got a job as a joiner. And I have to say, my eyes were truly open, because at university, God in His mercy placed me with a group of Christian boys from Crocker Valley. And though I wasn't right, walking right with the Lord, it was by His faithfulness to me that He kept me out of a house of maybe un-Christian or people that weren't Christians, and I could have been in the world sooner than I think, and I dear knows where I could be today. But the Lord kept me out of that, and praise His name. But anyway, getting to work, and my eyes were truly open to the world. And you know, young people, you might lead a sheltered life, and you come and your friends are in the youth, but see, when you actually get out into the world, it is a shock. I can tell you, it is so evil you would not imagine. And after one day I wanted to quit, and I know that there's a lot of places that are tough, and I know school can be tough, and university can be tough, but I can honestly say that the building site is probably the most evil, vilest place for any young person to be. And even an unsaved man turned around to me once, and he turned around and he says, "Whatever you want to be, if you want to be a Christian," he says, "this building site's not for you." And this was a Roman Catholic man, and even he knew how vile it was. But anyway, I started in work, and got a car, and this led to a bit of independence, and then started to head to clubs and pubs. And you know, it's the devil does paint it as a pretty picture, and even you have to say, if you watch television, you can even see that the best advertisements on TV is the advertisements for drink. They're so slick, they're so smooth. The devil, he has everyone blinded. And, you know, I went to these pubs and clubs and I was thinking, well, you know, I've heard testimonies and people have said they've went out and they couldn't find happiness, but I'm different. I'll find it. I'm a big lad. I can find the peace and contentment in the world. And there's probably people in here and they're sitting thinking the same. Well, sure, what does he know? He's a holy roller. He's different from me. I can go out and I can find peace and contentment in the world, but he won't find it. And anyway, this led on to, when I was in my work, it led to a bit of Dublin work. And when I was in Dublin, I was making real good money. And I was working big hours, but when I was in Dublin, I fell deeper and deeper into sin. And I can remember in Dublin, I had been going out maybe five nights in the week, and I'd been working a Sabbath, and I'd been coming into work, and I'd been no fit state to work. I'd been lying asleep on the ground because I couldn't bite my finger at night. And it was, the devil was taking me, and he even did take me into far country. And you'll read in Luke 15 and verse 13, it says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." And you know, the Lord has given me good money. I wasn't too bad at my job, but I was wasting everything I got. I was wasting my energy, my time, my money, and I was wasting the things of the world, thinking, this is brilliant, I'm living it up. But I tell you what, I wasn't living it up, and I didn't realize I wasn't living it up until I came back to the Lord. And, you know, anyway, that led on to lads' holidays, and plenty of lads' holidays, and I know people have holidays planned and stuff like that there. But I can honestly say that when God's people heard that we were going to lads' holidays, they must have prayed hard, because I never got up to the badness that I had planned in my head, and I praised God, and I never got up to the badness in my head, because what scars could be on my body this day? But anyway, through this time, I can testify to the working of the Spirit of God in my life still. And there's one Sunday night, Thomas Martin came here, and I was out milking the cows, and for some reason, this verse in my head, I couldn't get it out of my head, and it was in 2 Samuel 3 and verse 33, and it was, "Died Abner as a full dieth." And it went over and over and over, and I couldn't tell where it came from, but it's the Spirit of God. And I came that night to the meeting, and Thomas Martin spoke on "Died Abner as a full dieth." Well, I near fell out of my seat. And I can say that was God calling me. God was calling me home. And that's the Spirit of God. And maybe you've come, and maybe you've had a verse come over your head, and you can't understand, why has God put this? Where did that come from? I've never seen that, read that. Anyway, that's the Spirit of God. And I pray that you'll heed to the Spirit of God. But anyway, I, of course, ignored that, because I was different, and I was going to make my life work, and I wasn't going to stand up here and give a testimony, and I was going to say that all was good. But anyway, I went on and came back from one of these lads' holidays, and at this stage I was going out to Belfast every weekend, like, and maybe my parents didn't know, but I'm sure they knew more than what they let on. But don't you be fooled, young people, because they know more than you ever let on, no matter how much you try to cover it up. But they do know, they're not stupid. We sometimes think they're stupid, and Mom, sometimes you give real reason for me to think you're stupid, but they're not stupid. But anyway, I come back from one of these lads' holidays, and as young boys do, you meet girls, and I honestly will say I fell in love. I fell in love with this girl, and at the stage of my life, I was captain of my football team. I had a girlfriend. I just changed my car, and I was a blue-eyed boy in work. If anyone wanted anyone to go along with me to work, it was me. The bosses loved me. The older men in the firm loved me. I'm not blowing my own praises, by the way, but Paul, if you've any jobs going. No, but anyway, everything was going as grand as you could ever think. And you know, I should have been, as I said, if I had a wrote down at 15 what I wanted, I'd wrote down, I want to be a captain of a football team. Bad football team, right enough, that if he said, we could beat every week. But anyway, I'm still captain of my football team. If I wanted a girlfriend, I wanted a good car, and I wanted a good job. And you know, the devil had given me it all. The devil will give you, and the devil will occupy you. And I maintain to this day that the devil is a great occupier, and the devil will occupy many a lost soul into hell. He'll take away, and he'll maybe give you a new girlfriend, he'll give you a new job, he'll give you a new car. And you know, all that might be well and good in his place, but you know, the devil will never give you the peace and the satisfaction, and he'll never rescue your soul from hell. And you know, just beware, the devil is a great occupier. And why do you think Did you ever sit and think why the music in the clubs and the lights is pounding out? You know, he's occupying your mind, he's taking away. You know, it says it's in still small voices and the quietness. You know, in clubs you don't get the quietness, you get the boom, 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 you hear it all the time, you get the lights flashing, you know, and you don't get the time, you stand, you don't think about it, you don't, it's the devil comes and distracts you. But anyway, all through this time, I always knew something was missing, and through this time the Lord always spoke to me, and I praise God that even last night the Lord spoke to me and through the Reverend Mullen, and he says, you know, if you're a Christian and you're out in the world, you know, God saves you. God doesn't save you that you'll never sin again. He saves you and he puts you in a place that if you're sinning, you'll never enjoy your sin. You know, I could never enjoy my sin. There was always something in the back of me that was saying this isn't right. And you know, there's a heat warning here. If you're enjoying your sin, well, I don't want to judge anyone standing before God, but I truly believe if you're enjoying your sin, well, then you need to get right with the Lord. But anyway, I'll testify about the Lord. Oh, he spoke to me, and he spoke to me one time I was away in Dublin working, and I was late at night, and I was always doing night shift and big hours, but I was sitting one night at probably about 10 o'clock having a break, and I was just sitting on this park bench in the middle of Dublin and in a shopping centre, and the next thing I just looked at this advertising board, and it rotated round, and there's a gospel verse came up in front of me, and I thought, right, I can't run away from this. And you know, all our times is driving along the road, and you've seen the signs, the gospel signs put up in the trees, and I've seen stuff like that there. Gospel halls, I couldn't go past the gospel hall without my eye being drawn to it. I don't know, I must have seen every gospel hall in the country there was to see. But another thing as well, there was an open air in London. I went away the weekend with my girlfriend to London, and the very first thing we seen when we went up Oxford Street was there's some man standing in the middle of Piccadilly Circus with his guitar, and he was singing for the Lord. And I don't know how he sounded or how scripturally sound he was, but I tell you what, the Lord was chasing after me hard. And there's every time I went into a club, someone was giving out a gospel track, and I praise God for them people, and I hope the Lord blesses them in their work. And other times as well, there's one other. It was Harvest 2005, I think. Jeffrey Abraham was preaching, and I can remember sitting down in that back corner there with my friends, and I couldn't tell you what this man spoke on, but I tell you what, when the appeal came, the Spirit of God came into my heart. I sat in my hands, and you hear people testify that they sit in their hands, and you hear people say that